Welcome to another edition of It's Still Real to Me, always brought to us by the title sponsor of Zaslow Show 2.0. Of course, I'm talking about Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. If you're involved in an accident, if you got a personal injury, doesn't matter what kind, it could be a car accident, motorcycle, slip and fall. You want to get taken care of, you call 911 first, then you get an attorney on the phone immediately. 800-747-3. That's 800-747-3733. I send you to Anajar and Levine because they're going to treat you like family, all right? And that's the kind of care you need when you're dealing with a personal injury. Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys, 800-747-3, 800-747-3733. My pal, of course, is Joey Levin, joining us here every weekend for It's Still Real to Me, where we get you caught up on all the big stories in the world of pro wrestling. We are a week away from a really awesome pro wrestling weekend where Saturday night, and both cards are shaping up. Saturday night, we got WWE Premium Live Event Night of Champions, Saudi Arabia. And then on Sunday, we got AEW. Is it
Double or Nothing?
Double or Nothing. I get the names confused. Double or Nothing. Do you think there was any type of, I mean, they're not coordinated with each other, obviously, but one of them was booked first, and then the other one was just like, all right, well, we don't want to do it the same night. Like, there had to have been something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got to think, AEW's been doing their shows on Sundays, right? So I think it may have just, like, happened to work. I think so. I think so. Wasn't the last one MJF, Bryan Danielson?
It was, but, like, I don't feel like it's always been Sundays.
Oh, yeah, that I don't know. I actually think in the beginning it was on Saturdays, but maybe they moved to Sundays because WWE moved to Saturdays.
Why? We've been screaming for years for WWE, you got to move to Saturday. They finally do, and AEW's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do the day that nobody wants. We're going to do Sundays.
Yeah. It's strange, too, and it's like, I don't even remember how this came about that WWE had two pay-per-views this month. Like, it hasn't always been this way, right? Didn't it? Has it always been where Night of Champions wasn't always the same,
right?
The month after WrestleMania. So it's kind of strange that it's even happening this weekend either way.
Right. But you know what happens sometimes with WWE leading up to, like, the really big pay-per-views like SummerSlam? I've noticed they'll sometimes double up before it. And then you have, like, 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks leading up to the huge pay. Like, you'll go a month kind of without a pay-per-view and then lead into the huge one, which kind of feels like maybe what they're doing with SummerSlam, because you get a ton of time to build up. And, you know, they put out the SummerSlam Heat Wave tour, gives them a lot of time to tour with the live shows.
Right.
Like they're coming down here. I don't know if you noticed, I didn't see any house shows that were lined up. But on this heat wave tour for SummerSlam, Raw and SmackDown are coming both to Tampa and Orlando in July, maybe. Not Miami, because we know, like I've told you, Miami, it's the worst pro wrestling crowd, Miami.
Yeah.
They're skipping Miami altogether. They're going Tampa and Orlando, which are great pro wrestling crowds.
Yeah, that Dynamite crowd, the Dynamite terrible. That we went to, not a good crowd. A good crowd.
And every time they're here, not only is it not a good crowd, but it's only the lower level. You go on right now. If you were to go right now because tickets are on sale for SmackDown and Raw, Tampa and Orlando in July, you go on right now, almost the entire building, including the upper deck, is almost completely sold out.
I wonder what that is. What do you think that is? Is that just South Florida in general? Is that like, I mean, obviously, like, for sports, you know, Heat games get busy, but if the Heat are bad, it's not going to be full, right? And if the Dolphins are bad, it's not going to be full. And no one goes to Marlins games. Like, is it just a South Florida thing?
I don't have a good answer to it. Obviously, Central Florida is a hotbed for pro wrestling. So many of the wrestlers live there. You got the Performance Center there in Winter Park. Like, obviously, that area is hot. It's all Tampa's always, like, Hogan is Tampa. Like, Orlando, Tampa has always been a super hotbed for pro wrestling. But, like, why does South Florida, why does Miami suck for pro wrestling?
Well, because also, you know, you're talking about that, but then, like, we had, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name from CCW.
Yeah, Nelio, yeah.
When we had Nelio on, we talked about South Florida has a history of professional wrestling. Like, back in the day, South Florida, like South Florida Championship, like Florida Championship Wrestling was down here.
Which, if you
there's a
see
big
that
deal
Nellie
down
and
here.
CCW have brought back Florida Championship Wrestling.
Right. I mean, like they're, but they're, it was a big deal down here. So it's weird that people don't care. It just, it's probably a South Florida thing. I don't know. It's events in general down here. It's, unless it's like a big event, unless like people are all of a sudden into car racing and, or tennis matches, then people aren't going to show up to it.
I don't get it. I don't get it. All right. So anyway.
But you know what's weird, Zaz? I was thinking about this. There's so much wrestling content right now. Like there's so much week to week that we have to watch and follow.
Yeah.
And then all the rumors and all this shit. Doesn't it seem like Backlash was like 2 months ago?
Right. Right. It does seem like it was a while ago.
Like we, the internet was on fire with like Bad Bunny and his entrance and all of it. And it was hot. Like, everyone was listening to Chambea for a week straight, and now it's like, it feels like it was last year.
Yeah, yeah, it it's feels so like weird. It was a while ago. Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy.
So let's start out with both shows are both promotions, both the big promotions are setting up their big events next weekend, which I think are both shaping up to be really fun cards. So let's start out with WWE. We may as well start out with Raw. I thought there was a lot more action on SmackDown last night. SmackDown I thought was great. On Raw, as far as things that stood out to us, first thing that comes to mind for you on Monday night, I mean, for me, like, Judgment Day just still being at the center of everything, I think is so great. Like, it's pretty amazing how far Judgment Day has come. I love everything that they're involved in every Monday night. And it does seem like they're teasing, what's his name? Devlin, JD McDonagh.
JD McDonagh, Well, they did it. They did the tease, or they did some kind of tease. Yeah. And it's, and I, what I love about the way Triple H does his teases is he's not like trying to hide it. It's very blatant what he's doing. Like,
I love the idea of him joining. I think it's cool.
But like, like the backstage interview, and then Finn Balor just pops out of like, it's, there's no, it's not even like an Easter egg anymore. It's like, we're showing you what we're headed towards.
Do you
Whether
think that,
it's him joining or him fighting Finn, but I think it's him joining, right?
Yeah. Like, do we think he's going to, like, are they going to recruit him all of a sudden? They're like, we love your style, you know, like come, like, how do you think that's going to go down?
Well, I think it could go a couple ways. I mean, I remember I said for a long time, well, not for a long time, but I said a while ago, maybe a couple months ago now, that I thought we were getting to the point where Finn had to be out of Judgment Day.
Yeah, you don't still feel that way, do you?
And be on his own. Well, I think Finn is bigger than I think personally. I think he is the. I know Rhea's huge and everyone and she's great. I think Finn is a different level. I think he's on the top tier of stars in professional wrestling, and I think there's a world where, you know, Edge started the Judgment Day. And the young guys got sick of Edge and the younger guys got rid of Edge. I think there's a world where the Irish ace, JD McDonagh, who the young Irish superstar comes in and maybe joins and then they take out Finn and then Finn goes on to do his own thing. Or maybe him and Finn feud. I don't know. I think there's a bunch of different ways you could go here because it would be really easy to just have him join and have a fourth member. But also, like, him and Finn have there's a history there. I'm pretty sure Finn trained JD McDonagh in Ireland too.
Them just to add him and let Finn have another, you know, Irish guy, and they just
Who can take over and kick him out at some point?
Maybe at some point, but for now, just have another Irish guy and they kick ass together. Like,
yeah, he's the Irish ace. But don't you think? Like, to me, it's like if I'm Finn and I have a guy on my team who's calling himself the Irish ace, I'm like, hey, whoa. I'm
maybe
the
at
Irish
some
ace.
Point, maybe down the road, maybe at some point. I do want to point out though, we had a battle royal on Monday night. I love battle royals. You know, I love battle royals. So it's who's gonna face
Gunther and Night of Champions.
And Night of Champions, cool. I guess it's cool as hell that Mustafa Ali won. Like, you get a nice little treat there. It's a nice surprise. You know, you got, look, we're at the place now, Night of Champions. Like, Gunther's not anywhere close to losing. You got to feed someone to him. So let's see something new, and let's give Mustafa, and I'll tell you, look, I say this every time. Oh, my God, this match is great. This match is great. Every single time. Yeah, the match is great every single time because Gunther's magic, man. Whoever you put in the ring with him, it's going to be an incredible match. And Mustafa Ali can go, man. Like, that match is going to be fun as hell.
Well, I was going to say, I think you could make a similar case that anybody you put in the ring with Mustafa Ali it has a great match. Like, he's incredible, and he's just been, first of all, when he first came in, he didn't really have much of a personality. So it took a while for people to really care about him. And then, just like the Maximum Male Models, just like my guy Dijak, they've all, just like Mia Yim, they've all been trying for a long time now to just finally wash away the stink of
retribution. Yeah.
And this is finally, it seems like Ali, this is like him finally getting that stink off of him and being like, all right, I can be some type of player in this. He's never going to be a world champion. He may not ever win a title, but he can be involved in these kind of storylines because he's good. And actually, this gimmick is kind of funny. Positive Ali. Like, that's his thing. His gimmick is that he's positive, and he's positive Ali. Positively. Like, that's his gimmick. It's kind of funny. It's pretty
good. You know what else I noticed there? So Von Wagner, he's on Raw now. Like, I guess he was drafted. I didn't realize just
no,
all of a sudden Von Wagner's there.
No, Von Wagner's a free agent. Von Wagner can go to either show. Yeah.
Okay.
Von Wagner's.
All right. So he's like, hey, there's a battle royal. I want in on that. I'm a free agent. Let's get in.
Exactly. Okay. I think in NXT, Mr. Stone was his manager, Robert Stone. Maybe Mr. Robert Stone negotiated a deal for him to be a free agent. Maybe that's
okay.
What it is.
All right, very
but I'm good with Ali. You know what? I like the Ali thing. I like him
being
involved with Gunther. You know, there's been a lot of talk about how long Roman's going to have the titles.
Forever.
It feels like Gunther could have the Intercontinental title forever. So people got to fight him. Like, they got to come up with ideas here.
Well,
so
yeah, and, right, and like, and like, so they're it would appear they're dead set on Roman Reigns surpassing the all-time record, which is it Bruno Sammartino?
I don't know about the all-time. I know Hogan for sure is what I think is what it seems like, because Hogan's is like
Hogan was from pre-WrestleMania 1 all the way to right before WrestleMania 4.
Hogan was like 1400 days or something like that, but Bruno was like 7 years or something. Like
oh,
I think
okay.
Bruno,
okay.
Bruno, I think Bruno's was like, I mean, I think it was something insane, like set, like, I don't think it's beatable. I don't
okay.
in the modern era, I don't think.
We got anything to say about superstar Billy Graham? He passed away a few days ago. I mean, for me, obviously, certainly ahead of your time. And for me, like, just ahead of my time as well. But for me, anytime I think of, and I know superstar Billy Graham over the last few years really said some kind of wacky stuff, you know, every now and then. But as far as, like, when I think of superstar Billy Graham, I always think about those odd color commentary appearances he would have in the early days of WWF. Holy shit, were those shows funny, man. That's what I think of when I think of superstar.
Honestly, I mean, it's a you know, I know his impact in the industry, and I know he inspired probably
inspired
a
Hogan.
Lot of, he inspired probably a lot of what we watched growing up, like the wrestlers that you ended up watching and then that I ended up watching as a kid. Other than that, I don't know it. I didn't, you know, he's way before my time. But you know, yeah, sad for the industry, but I think I've seen a lot of good tributes. So, you know, I know everybody respected him a lot. So it's, you know,
what I'd like to point out though, as
I have Bruno's record, by the way, 2,803 days.
I mean, that's like 7 years.
Yeah. So,
okay. We're not, I hope we don't get there. It's a little too long. I hope we don't get there. So I do want to mention here, and this was especially apparent on SmackDown last night. I can't remember. I think it's been a really long time, if maybe ever, where so quickly the NXT call-ups, I feel, are so relevant, so quick on the main brands. And especially last night, like, I don't feel that I'm being force-fed them. I feel like they fit. Like, I'm watching Pretty Deadly last night.
Who they're awesome.
Are
they're
so
fun.
Obviously going to be a really big deal, all right?
Yeah.
Like the finish to that match last night was so perfect. Really good shit.
Yeah.
They're clearly going to be great. And then I see, you know, they do the Grayson Waller effect, debut of Grayson Waller effect, and I'm like, yeah, he fits in really well also. And then you got Fire and Dawn last night as well, who totally look like they belong on the main roster. Like,
I would put
Phillips have infused a really good energy, I feel, on the main roster.
I would put the women's tag titles on them now.
Well, you know what? I don't see. I hate when they do that because
I know, but the women's tag titles is just, it's cursed.
I know.
They need a tag team, like a real tag team.
I know, but
not a thrown together, whatever.
I just, I hate when you got the new hot star or stars and they crown them right away. Like, I just so prefer the build to it. It just means so much more. And, and then the one with me, that the one I always go back to is when Bayley was originally called up to the main roster. Bayley won the women's championship so fast. And it's like, it meant nothing. When she was in NXT, it took her years to finally beat Sasha Banks at what I think is the greatest women's match, at least NXT, that I've ever seen. And it was an amazing crowning achievement moment. And Bayley got called to the main roster, and they gave her that belt fast, man. It's like, it didn't have the meaning. I hate when they crown them right away. I get what you're saying. Fire and Dawn are clearly really good, and they're a legit tag team.
I mean, I'm just like, I texted you that I think the women's tag titles from the very beginning have just been sort of like on the main roster have been cursed. There's just, it's never been good. It's never been relevant. And now with the Liv, now Liv's injured, so they have to relinquish the titles, and there's going to be a
trip. So they're going to have a four-way. It's at Night of Champions?
No, it's next week on
it's
Raw.
It's on Friday, I think it's on Friday.
Friday?
Yeah, I think it's on Friday.
Is it on Friday or is it next week? I think it's next week on Raw.
Oh, you know what? You're right, because all the other participants are Raw stars. You're right. It is going to be on Raw.
Yeah, and then there's going to be a surprise tag partner for Raquel.
So who could that be?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
My point is like, since the beginning, these titles
better not be Lita. Tell you what.
I don't know.
Are they so obviously
Nia Jax?
Are they so obviously putting it on Ronda and Shayna?
No, I didn't even put this in Big Dirt because I don't care that much, but I was reading that Ronda's taking time off.
Okay.
Are they even in the match?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see who the competitor. Who's in the match? I didn't
It's Ronda and Shayna, Raquel and a mystery partner, Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville.
They got to get. I mean, it's got to be them.
EO and Bayley.
Okay. Well, that's weird. It's got to be that. It's got to be Sonya and Chelsea Green. I mean,
love them.
You want to make that thing, that those belts matter. Let those two walk around backstage with the belts and just talk shit to people. I mean, that would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun. And they're great heels. Like, I think you could do some stuff with them. But yes, it has seemed for a while like it's going to be Shayna and Ronda, but I don't know. I mean,
Shayna and Ronda had so much promise to them, mainly because we all wanted to result in Shayna being elevated to exactly where she belongs. And it's just, they can't get off the ground.
Yeah, no, it's tough. I think time off for Ronda is the right move here.
And let Shayna do her thing.
Yeah, put her in the title picture.
Dude, remember Shayna, it was only a couple years ago, she was in the Elimination Chamber and eliminated everyone. And look where we are, like we can't get her off the ground now.
I wouldn't mind a Shayna Bianca thing after we get done with this Asuka stuff again.
Yeah.
For the second time in a row.
Like, how is Shayna Baszler not in the women's main event picture every week?
No, I agree.
She carried that NXT women's division for like 2 years.
I agree. Oh, no, she's in the top. I mean, she's on that list of top four or five best NXT champions ever, right?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Easily.
And it's because
she looks like a champion.
She looks like a champion, and she's also a legit real life badass. Like, not that Ronda Rousey isn't, but there's just been this uneasy feeling from wrestling fans since Ronda Rousey showed up. Like, Shayna Baszler went and did the NXT thing, and you could tell she loves the industry and she loves what she's doing, and she didn't come in like, oh, I'm something, whatever.
She worked her way, man. Like, I remember I was at an NXT live show in like West Palm years ago. And all of a sudden, Shayna Baszler came down the engine. Like, oh, shit, that's Shayna Baszler.
Oh, yeah. We might have been. I might have been there, too.
Maybe. I mean, it was like 5, 6 years, 7 years ago. Like, yes, whoa, five, that's Shayna Baszler.
I think she fought against at the one I was at, it was against Kairi Sane.
I don't remember.
She came out with the other two horsewomen, the two who aren't around anymore, Marina right. Shafir and the tall
Jessamyn
blonde
Duke.
One. Jessamyn Duke. And the main event was Riddle versus Velveteen Dream.
I may have been there.
Street Profits fought on that. And I remember because I have a photo in my phone because Montez Ford, it was the first time I saw someone wrestling Jordans. I was like, he's wearing red Jordans. I was like, oh my God, what's happening here? Now they all wrestle in Jordans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a great show. Yeah.
So yeah, the NXT call-ups, I think, have been fantastic so far.
Cameron Grimes burying Baron Corbin.
Well, everyone saw that coming. That was so easy to see. They've been great. Are you happy with what they're doing with LA Knight? We got LA Knight's feud now. He's going to mess around with Boogs for the next couple weeks. I mean, Boogs has got personality. I'm cool with it. I'm all right with it.
I love Boogs. Yeah. I'm a big I love everything about. I love Rick Boogs is the perfect like mid-card guy.
Yeah.
He's fun.
And I need LA Knight to get some wins. Like good. Mess around with Boogs, get some wins. Let's go.
And people love Boogs. And if you have to force the LA Knight is a heel thing, have him feud with somebody that everybody loves.
Yep.
Like, you know, because everybody loves LA Knight. They're not going to boo him, but at least maybe now if he tortures Boogs a little bit, maybe they'll boo him and that gets him in as a heel.
Yep.
I'm fine with it, especially because it does feel like it's going to lead to something bigger. Like, you know, there's something big coming. I think he's going to be, I don't know about winning, but he'll be in the match, I think.
Yeah. Better be.
So I don't mind it.
Yep. Let me ask you here what's going on with AJ Styles. We both agree, right?
Very strange SmackDown for AJ Styles.
Really strange. Yeah. We both agree that Seth Rollins is winning the world title. I mean, AJ could win, but
I got some stuff on in Big Dirt about that. But it seems that way.
So AJ is on Grayson Waller effect. Okay, and it's kind of like, all right, so if AJ doesn't beat Seth, we may be setting up for a little bit of a showdown between AJ Styles and Grayson Waller. That's fine. And then later on in the show, Karrion Kross,
almost instantly, like almost like the next commercial break. It was so weird.
Karrion Kross wants a piece of AJ Styles now. So
he wants a piece of Allen.
Yeah, of Allen Joseph. Yeah. So like I don't understand what's going on with AJ Styles.
Well, you know what? I don't think the problem is AJ. Like what, or not problem. I don't think it's an AJ thing because I think it's very clear. You do something with Grayson Waller and AJ because Grayson is the upside for Grayson Waller is absolute star. Like this guy is going to be big. He is, he's got it. I mean, that Grayson Waller effect wasn't the best. I've seen him do much better work. But this is his first time on SmackDown and they're putting him in the ring with AJ,
He's not a great talker, AJ.
But it just, I think it's a sign of what they feel about Grayson Waller. His debut on SmackDown
he's right next to AJ Styles.
Being in the ring with AJ.
Yeah.
I think the question here is, I think the thing here is that they just can't figure out what the fuck to do with Karrion Kross.
Yeah.
I mean, he has just been a complete and utter, like, bust. I think he's got to lose I've seen some interviews with him. He's like a funny guy. Like he does good impressions. Like he's like a big, good looking dude. Like let's change up the gimmick. This whole like TikTok doomsday thing. It's not working. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And every time it's like, I'm going to take Nakamura's honor. I'm going to take Rey Mysterio's.
But he never does.
But he never does. And now he's going he's inexplicably, he's just going after AJ. Like just change the gimmick. Like there was a couple weeks where he came to the ring wearing like slacks and like a long sleeve or like a short sleeve, like flower, like button up where he looked like almost like a Razor Ramon type of outfit. I was like, okay, there's something here. Like this outfit feels like a little more of like a slimy dude, not necessarily like the doomsday thing, like something funny could work, but this backstage with the tarot cards and then Scarlett just staring at him. It's just like, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work.
Let's talk about the main story from yesterday. And that, of course, was the opening segment and the closing segment. So we all knew the Usos were going to lose. They're in a downward spiral right now. And so they lose to Latino World Order. Great. The story, though, is the start of the show. So the start of the show, you got Roman. He's angry, obviously, because the Usos come in and they interrupt his plan. He had something to say to Sami Zayn, and they come in and they jump Sami and they jump KO. And Roman's mad because he's the quarterback and he calls the plays and he didn't call that play. And then on the way out, he bumps into Solo. You got Solo who doesn't appreciate that. And Roman's kind of, whoa, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And Roman leaves on his own.
Flustered. Like nervous that he bumped into.
He was shook. And the end of the show, and I don't know if this was on purpose or not, but like, you got Solo and Roman who are watching the end of the match in their locker room. The Usos lose. The cameras go to them in the locker room. And like, they're not mic'd up. You couldn't hear anything they were saying. Now, I know Solo said, I'm going to fix this. And as he's getting up, Roman stops him. But then Roman says something clearly of consequence. I have no idea what Roman said. Was that on purpose? What he said. Like, supposed to be where we don't know what he was said? Or did they fuck up there? Because I don't know what he said.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. To be honest, I'm in the same boat. I don't know what. I don't
it
know
may,
if
it may have been on purpose, but I'd like to know what he said.
Yeah, no, I haven't even seen anything about that. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if it was unintentional, because, you know, they had some issues last week with Fox on Fox where I forgot who it was in the ring, was talking. And because the crowd was chanting and chant was a curse, they had to bleep out the sound, and we missed. Yeah. It was with Jey Uso, I think, when he was about to say something and the crowd was cursing and they had to bleep it out. I don't know if Fox did something there again. I don't think it was a crowd thing, so I don't know.
No, I don't think it was a crowd thing either. It's almost as if just like the levels weren't up. Like the levels were low, and like I can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from all of it is, like, we have, like, right at this point, it just feels like there's WWE and then there's the Bloodline. Like, the Bloodline is just, for the next year, it feels like the Bloodline could be just independent of everybody else from WWE right now.
And, I mean, look, they're throwing out these Easter eggs, too, like this, where, like, Solo turning on Roman, they're not breaking up. They're not going anywhere. It's the same way that they're not taking the title off Roman and giving it to Cody, because why are they going to end a good thing? They're not breaking up the Bloodline. They're not going to end a good thing.
Well, also, it sounds like Roman may not defend the title for another couple months, because the rumor is that it's going to be Roman and Solo versus the Usos at Money in the Bank.
Maybe there will be some type of dissension.
Yeah.
Which leads to Roman, like, going away. And then in a couple months or whatever, he comes back and you don't know what his reaction is going to be, but it's, you know, the Bloodline is as strong as ever, you know?
Yeah. It feels like it's going to be them, you know, them. Well, it feels like it's going to be Roman and Solo versus the Usos for a while. I think all the way to like SummerSlam. I think it might be Roman Jay at SummerSlam. I don't know. It just feels like
were hoping after WrestleMania. Can we get to SummerSlam with Roman versus Jay?
Yeah, but then I think past that, I think what we saw last night was, like you said, they're laying the foundation for Roman versus Solo at some point.
Some point. Way down the road.
I guess, but
I look at the end of the show, like, Solo said to Roman, I'm going to fix this. Like, Solo's on board still. Like, he's Roman's guy. You know, he didn't like Roman bumping him there, but he's still all about the Bloodline.
Well, okay, but here we go. Here we go. You know, this is the Solo question. This is always the question with Solo. Is he Roman's guy or is he the Bloodline's guy?
I think he's the Bloodline's guy.
Is he the elder or is he the elder's guy?
Yeah, like, I think he's the Bloodline's guy.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like, yeah, he's going to fix it, but that doesn't necessarily mean he wants to fix it because Roman wants him to fix it. It's because he cares about his family and he wants the Bloodline to be good.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, I don't know what it means ultimately, but it means, I think, It's interesting how much they have really elevated Solo over the last since Mania, basically.
Yep.
He is like, I mean, he's like the center of everything with Bloodline right now. Like,
yeah, well,
quietly.
Because you've been doing this Bloodline story for a couple of years, and he's fresh. He's a fresh center point of a story. You know, they've had Jay be the centerpiece. You've had Sammy be the centerpiece. And those stories are done, and now it's like, all right, we got this guy Solo. Let's make him the centerpiece now. Like, it's cool.
Yeah. But what do you make of them? I mean, I know, obviously, we know what it is. It's like Solo's the enforcer. You don't want to mess with Solo. Is it like, isn't it interesting that you have this guy that they're positioning as the most dominant champion in history? And he's like scared of his own enforcer.
I like it. I'm good with
it's,
it.
It's yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. It's
yeah,
just fun.
I like
I was not expecting, I expected at some point there to be like something where Solo is not happy with Roman for the way he's treating the Usos. Like, that's where I thought it was headed. Not like
we'll
Roman
get there eventually. We are going to get
well,
there.
Well, it just shows like, you never know with this Bloodline story.
Yep.
I never expected that the beginning of the dissension between Solo and Roman would be Solo getting mad that Roman bumped him. I didn't think that's where this was all going to start. Like the Roman, because Roman's reaction was everything to me at that point.
Totally
like
shook.
His reaction that like nervous that he bumped Solo.
I think it's gonna.
Was,
you know what? I think they're gonna do that now. Like, I think that was the first. Like, maybe in their tag matchup at Night of Champions,
I think Solo gets the pin.
Like, no, but I'm saying, like, maybe he spears Solo because someone moves out the way. You know, I think it's the beginning of him
or
doing that.
Or is it, you know, Roman, like the Usos get the best of Roman and Solo takes care of business? Because Solo always takes care of business, right? That's what Solo always takes care of business. That's the whole thing, right? Solo always does. Maybe it's Solo gets the win. Solo saves Roman, and Roman now is even more scared of Solo and a little even more nervous. Like, maybe he's the, am I the guy or is he the guy? Like, what? Who's the guy? If I can't get the win, if he's getting the win because I couldn't get the win.
They're going to win. They're going to win next weekend, right?
They have to. Wait, you mean in the tag titles?
Yeah.
Roman and Solo?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
No, I think they're going to lose, and then they're going to fight the Usos at Money in the Bank.
Does it not
make
more?
You think that they're going to have Roman walk around with four belts?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're just going for nuclear heat here, man. Like, what's the future of KO? Like, what's the long-term plan for KO and Sammy as tag champions? There's no long-term outline there. They're going to be tag team champions and defend against all comers? There's no long-term story there. They're singles competitors, those guys. There's a long-term story by giving Roman more belts. I don't think there's a long-term future with KO and Sammy in the tag team division. They could stay friends, but in the tag division, there's no long-term plan there. I think you got a lot to work with if you give Roman more belts. I think they're winning.
Do you?
Yep.
Well, but then... Yeah, but okay.
If Sammy and KO retain, where do they go?
Judgment Day, Imperium, isn't that what was kind of like teased?
Well, they're fighting
on Raw?
Imperium this week. They are, but not for titles.
Right, I know, but it's and then you know Finn, they came in and confronted him and said, "Once you're done with Roman and Solo, if you get past them, we'll be here waiting."
I don't think there's a long term. I don't think there's a future with those guys in the tag division.
Yeah, but I think they're, I guess not, but like if you keep them together, but then, okay, so the question is, I guess my question would be, if you take the belts off them now, what do you do with those guys? If you take the belts
off.
Well,
I'll tell you what, I would love to see KO and Solo. Can we feud? Like they teased that last night.
I know, but so you're going to take the, so you, are we, we're going to take the belts off of KO and Sammy, but then still have them do more with the Bloodline? I think they're done with the Bloodline.
I don't know. I don't think they have
think,
to be done with the Bloodline. I don't think they have to be.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, If they lose, well, obviously, if they lose, then they're not done. But I think if they win, then they can just move on to other tag teams until they lose. Like, they don't have to lose to these guys to move on from the tag division. There are, I feel like, a lot of tag teams that would be fun for them to
Like,
feud with.
for me, the only thing interesting about Sammy and KO being a tag team is feuding with the Bloodline.
Yeah, but also, didn't am I confused? Where did Sammy and KO get drafted?
Yeah,
Did they get
I
drafted to
don't
Raw?
know. I can't keep track of that
Is
shit.
the draft over already? Like, are we done with the draft
Well,
already? It
they're
feels
still
like
free
it.
agents. I don't know.
Doesn't it feel like the draft's done, right? Like,
Yeah.
because I think Sammy and KO got drafted to Raw, and the Bloodline's on SmackDown, but Sammy and KO have been on SmackDown, I guess, because they have
Well,
both
because they're the
belts. They can
tag
go
team.
over there.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, the draft really mattered a lot.
I can't keep track of that.
I don't know who. Yeah, I don't get it anymore either. But we'll make our picks at some point. But I'm gonna say I think Sammy and KO keep the titles.
All right, so can you give me an updated card for Night of Champions? What do we got? Saturday night, so we're marching toward Saudi Arabia. Oh, I guess they probably taped another SmackDown last night, right?
Yeah, they must have,
They
right? Or
must have.
maybe, well. No, I guess could they tape it? Yeah, maybe they did. I mean, or they
I
could
think they
tape it
did.
after. Could they tape it after Raw, maybe? I don't know.
Nah, I don't think so. No,
No.
I think they probably taped it last night. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
Yeah.
all right. So what do we got, man?
We have the tournament, the finals for the WWE heavyweight title, Seth versus AJ. We have the tag match, Roman and Solo versus KO and Sammy. Ali versus Gunther for the Intercontinental title.
Match could be awesome.
Yeah. Brock versus Cody, Becky versus Trish,
Okay.
and Asuka versus Bianca.
So
With
Austin
the
Theory is not defending Night of Champions?
I don't know that I think he will. It looks like after last night, it'll probably be him versus Sheamus.
Okay.
But I don't know if that has been officially announced, but last night you saw Sheamus, we saw what, Sheamus attacked him and whatever.
Yeah.
And then also, I guess that means, have they not announced Rhea? Like, is because I'm assuming Rhea's gonna do something. Wasn't it Natalia was? But
Yeah.
I don't know
I
if
don't know.
that's
Is
been
there a
announced.
cap on women's matches in Saudi Arabia? I don't
Yeah, I don't know. Also, like, it just seems that Rhea is much less concerned with fighting women than she is with fighting men. I mean, it just seems like that's what she just really wants a man to hit her. Like, is what it seems like.
Right.
Every time Judgment Day is in a ring or Dom is anywhere, Rhea just wants a man to
I
hit her.
feel like we want to get
It's,
Rhea
I...
though at Night of Champions though, because remember, because it's in Saudi, the women have to be all covered up. And the last time that they were there, like she's full dominatrix outfit, like no
Yeah.
skin showing, full on dominatrix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll see. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. All right. So that's the car. That's what we got.
That's what we got so far. It's actually, I'll tell you what, like,
Good, great.
there are, I mean, I hate to be this guy, but I could take or leave both women's matches, but the other four matches are going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go on to AEW. Let's start out with the big announcement, okay? The big announcement, which was the worst kept secret, that AEW Collision is going to debut over the summer. It's a Saturday night show. I guess it's going to be, excuse me, I guess it's going to be like a roster split kind of deal. It's a lot of AEW programming, dude. Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night, two of their shows are on the two worst TV nights of the week, okay, Friday and Saturday
Right.
night. They're going to be touring Canada with this show, but they have not announced the debut location yet for AEW Collision. And I guess the big rumor is they haven't announced it yet because they want it to be Chicago, but they have not finalized anything with CM Punk. So they haven't announced it yet. They were supposed to announce CM Punk's return, but there's a hiccup there. I already told you how I feel about all that. We talked about it last week with Big Dirt, not Big Dirt. I don't think CM Punk's returning. I don't think any of this is CM Punk. I don't think anything's there. I don't think we're gonna see him again. I like am I off base with what the rumors are there?
Well,
Like,
my understanding is they have Chicago booked for the debut,
right.
but
But
that
what
they
a
all
massive letdown that will be if it's Chicago and
oh
there's no CM
well,
Punk.
no, but that they also have Daly's place as backup if Punk's not going to be ready. or if they can't get pumped. And so
I don't
what I
think
was
Bucks are turning.
reading, what I read this week was that it was ready. It was ready to go.
Right.
And he was part of the announcement up
Right.
until the day before. And that a lot of the reason why he was pulled hinges on that dude, this guy, Ace
I
Austin.
mean, come on. Like, really? Like, how's that possible?
I don't know, but that's what people are writing. I don't know.
I
It's
don't
all
buy
dirt
it.
sheet stuff,
Yeah, I don't
but
buy it.
that he was going to be part of the creative and they were going to bring him back, but then he the, his their understanding was that he was going to be allowed to come to tapings for Collision, but that there's still problems between him and people backstage because he bit someone or whatever happened in that fight. And then that Punk, I guess there's stuff that Punk still hasn't totally made up with everybody. I
If you're Tony Khan, let's say what you're saying is true. If you're Tony Khan and you feel like you got to the 1 yard line and you're making this massive announcement, and then boom, you're stuffed on the goal line. You can't go through with the whole announcement. Don't you have to have some pause if you're Tony Khan? Like, the fuck are we doing?
Well, here's the thing. One thing, just
If this stuff is true.
right. Well, one thing I'll say that is this: regardless of what happens with Punk, not that we either of us watch Rampage at this point, anyways. But what I've read is that Rampage now will basically be what Dark was, which is just like sort of like a showcase show for like younger talent or talent they're trying to figure out, like stuff like that. So like Rampage will not be crucial to the overall storyline on Friday nights. That
Which it
Collision
shouldn't
will
be.
be
I
the
mean,
thing.
isn't Rampage on at 10 p.m.?
Well, who knows when it's on? Because
No, but I
like
mean, that's what
last,
it's been on. Well,
yeah, I
in the
know, but it
NBA,
changed.
it t NHL
Yeah,
is
it
thrown
changed.
off. Yeah.
It changes a lot. But now here's the other problem I have. Even if Punk's there, okay, Warner Brothers put out a press release about Collision. And in the press release, they said starring Thunder Rosa, Miro, Andrade, Will Hobbs, and like a couple other people. So basically, what you're telling me is that they're launching a Saturday show as a secondary show. This is not going to be an important show. The
It
show
has to
doesn't
be a
matter.
secondary show. It's on Saturday. It's the
I
worst
understand
TV
that.
night of the week.
No, but I know that, but I'm saying like WWE has two shows a week. But both shows equally have top level talent. If you're telling me that this show's stars are Miro, Andrade, Will Hobbs, Thunder Rosa, like if you're telling me that those are the people
It's gonna be
that I have
Thunder.
to, t
It's gonna be
if
WCW Thunder.
exactly, exactly. If you're telling me that I'm tuning in to watch mainly those people, and then maybe every now and then a big name will show up. Like maybe there'll be some crossover, but for the most part, it's these other people. Like what are the title? Like what are they fighting for? Are they not? Because like if MJF's not on the show, they can't have the world title. And if, I guess Will Hobbs has the TNT title, right? No, or did he lose the TNT? No, actually, no.
Wardlow has it.
Wardlow has it now. So yeah, Will Hobbs isn't even
It's
important in
hard to
that
tell
respect.
what collision is right now. It's hard to tell.
Based on the release, it seems like they're setting it up to be a very secondary show, which doesn't excite me, like even a little bit. I have no, I've I love Miro and I love Andrade,
I don't
actually.
have time for a weekly episodic wrestling show on Saturday night.
Not one that I don't know for sure that at least like there's a chance that the top level, like if SmackDown was on Saturday, I would watch SmackDown. I might not watch it live.
Right,
You're right.
but there's a 25-year history behind the show that's on Friday nights. On all the other
What?
awful, television night, but there's a 25-year history behind that show.
I understand that, but for what, a decade of that history, the show stunk. Like there was a time where you knew SmackDown was just very much the second show and Raw was all you
Well,
had to watch.
not in the beginning. I mean, when that
No,
when
I know
SmackDown
that. I
launched,
know.
it was the Rock show.
No, I understand that, but there was there was a
Yeah,
stretch
at one point, yeah.
where it was like SmackDown was pre-taped.
But the
It didn't really
equivalent of
matter.
when they launched SmackDown would be if they're launching AEW Collision on Saturday night and it stars Kenny Omega. That would be the equivalent.
I understand. I guess I'm just comparing it to the current day where it's like, if you're telling me that we're launching a show and I don't even know that any of the top stars are going to be on the show, I'm not going to watch it. But if SmackDown moved to Saturday right now, I mean, I got to watch it
I'd have to find a way.
because the bloodline is on it, and it adds to the overall storyline of the product. Right now, it seems like this is just another wrestling show.
Yeah.
Like, I might as well watch Ring of Honor.
I agree. Like, it seems like it's just
what
a
is
show.
This, what is, like, what's this show going to add to the overall, like, is this show going to add to the build to All In? Is this show going to add to the build to Forbidden Door? I don't, at least in the moment, it feels like maybe we're going to have some matches from that show that'll make it onto those shows, but not like the big stories.
So right.
It's underwhelming.
Right. Right. Let's talk about the main story though, from Wednesday night. And that is, you got the Elite back together, man. Finally. Hangman, he's a pirate. He's got the patch over the eye.
Hell yeah. Good for him.
I like that. Yeah. And he's back with the Elite. The Elite are full on good guys now, if you didn't know it before. And we got Elite versus Blackpool Combat Club, anarchy in the arena. So what does that mean? Is that just we're fighting everywhere? Is that what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of those kind of matches. I'm especially not a fan of those kind of matches with AEW, because what we've noticed has happened.
Well, you didn't like when Matt Hardy hit Sammy Guevara with the golf cart. I mean, that's like a classic moment. That's an all-time moment.
Right. And didn't Matt Hardy almost die?
That was scary. That was a scary moment. When he jumped off the lift. Yeah. That
he
was
hit his
scary.
Head, right. But the part that I don't like, and we've seen this before, is I don't feel AEW does a good job in those matches that are all over the place, coordinating the action. Because I don't remember what match it was, but it was recently where something really cool was happening over here, and at the same time was the final pinfall over here, and like we missed it, you know?
Wasn't it like, I think it was the Elite match. It was during the Best of Seven series with Lucha Bros and Pac.
You may be right. You may be right.
And they had like a split screen. And like there was a pin here, but there was something going
and
on
like
here.
And the crowd had no idea what happened. We knew on TV. Excuse me. We knew on TV, but the crowd didn't know because they're watching over here while this is happening over here. So when you have those matches that are all over the arena, it's one thing if it's one-on-one or even two-on-two. This is, you got eight guys.
Yeah. It's tough to do those kind of matches live. I will say, pandemic era AEW matches like this were like Stadium Stampede is one of my favorite matches of
all time.
Because
weren't they able to tape that though?
Right. But that's what I'm saying. They were able to like figure out the beats and all that stuff, and it wasn't in front of a live audience. I think Stadium Stampede still to me to this day, like that was one of the most entertaining matches. It was the absurdity of it all. Like I would actually rather have that than Anarchy in the Arena, if I'm being honest, especially if they end up going back to Jacksonville for whatever. Double or Nothing is, where is Double or Nothing? Actually, I don't even know. I have it pulled up, but,
it's in Vegas.
It's in Vegas. It's hard to coordinate a 4-on-4 falls count anywhere, anything goes match in an arena full of people. That being said,
I'm sure it's going to be absolutely wild.
It's the match I'm looking forward to on this card. There's nine matches announced. I think we'll read off the card in a few minutes. There's at least one more that I think will be announced on Wednesday, and probably more than that.
Well, I want to hear it. Give me the card. I want to hear what the card is so far.
We got the Pillars match, which I want to talk about. I guess we talked about it last week.
Pillars match is going to be good. Like, I understand what you're saying, where it's not the main focus, but I already told you how I feel about that. Like, I'm okay that it's not the main focus. You got other great
it's okay
stuff
that
going
it's
on.
Yeah, but it's okay that it's not the main focus. But again, like, so we have two pay-per-views next weekend, or two premium events, whatever. WWE has the same situation.
Yep.
Okay, where you have Roman and you have fighting for the tag titles, and that feels huge. But the world title feels huge also. And by the way, so does Cody and Brock. Like, that feels like a huge match.
Yep.
And it's okay that the title is not the main focus because you have Roman, but they still did a good job of making all of those matches feel big. Not only does the Four Pillars match is it not the main focus? It doesn't feel like a big deal to me.
Well, and I
it just
think it's
doesn't feel like a big deal
because
to me.
you have, I mean, there's just no scenario that you believe MJF doesn't walk away with the belt. That's what it is.
Yeah, I that's part of it. But I also, but you know what? I mean, I guess I'm a little bit of revisionist history here because I remember the build to Bryan Danielson and MJF getting a little frustrated because we had the Bryan Danielson fought every week and he had to fight to get there, but it made it feel big, even though I didn't think there was any way MJF was losing that match.
Right.
Well, maybe during the match because the match was so incredible.
No, there was no chance he was losing.
But in the buildup, I didn't feel, but it still felt.
I remember that was the weekend that I did Bust It Open with Tommy Dreamer. And I told Tommy, I'm like, I think MJF's an absolute
Can I do this? Can I do this as an exercise? Because I also have this pulled up, right? Because it kind of speaks to what we talked about a little bit, is that in the fact that AEW has this issue with how they continue their momentum, right? They have trouble keeping momentum with their hot stories. Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to read the card. Do you remember the card from Revolution? Because I'm going to read the card, and then I'm going to read you the card for this weekend.
All right, come on.
And just remember how the build went, right? So, or the build since Revolution. So, the important ones. Ricky Starks beat Chris Jericho. Ricky Starks was one of the hottest wrestlers in all of AEW, the MJF stuff and the Jericho stuff. He's not even on the Double or Nothing right now. He might be. I think him and Jay White will fight on Double or Nothing, but it's not announced. And it's been okay. It's been a fine little feud, but... Ricky Starks, no momentum. Jungle Boy buried Christian Cage. I guess Jungle Boy's in the
yeah. So he's capitalized. Okay.
House of Black, trios titles, beat the Elite. Great match. The House of Black momentum. They're still cool, but I thought they were like on a rocket ship in this company after that, beating the Elite. Jamie Hayter beat Saraya. Now Jamie Hayter's fighting Tony Storm. Same story. Hangman hung Moxley. Now they're doing the
Anarchy in the Arena. I totally forgot about
that. Wardlow beat Samoa Joe. And then MJF beat Bryan Danielson. And after that match, MJF seemed like... I remember I was saying he was like 1A, 1B with Roman in all of professional wrestling after that match. And I just feel like... I don't care a ton.
Right.
He's still great. It just, they've, I just feel like for a lot of those stories just kind of, I guess they're kind of coming back around, but some of those stories went away and the momentum just had, they just don't do a great job keeping momentum with.
So let me hear. Stories. So let me hear. Well, give me the card
all right
now.
So we have the Pillars match. We have Anarchy in the Arena.
Yep.
FTR versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal with Mark Briscoe as the special guest referee.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be fun as hell. But it's but we're all looking forward to it because of Mark Briscoe.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, FTR is great.
No, but Mark Briscoe is the star of this match, right?
Right. Now. Right. Jamie Hayter versus Tony Storm.
Look, I'm down for any time Jamie Hayter's in the ring.
Sure. Sure. Wardlow versus Christian in a ladder match for the TNT title.
Are they gonna find a way to get that belt off of Wardlow? Are they going to do that?
No, because Arn Anderson's going to be strapped. He's not going to let that happen. Orange Cassidy is defending the
opening
internet.
The show.
Yeah, Orange Cassidy. I really like Orange Cassidy. I know people love Orange Cassidy. It's probably time. Probably time to. It's probably time to get this belt off of him.
Who's he fighting?
No,
who's he fighting?
No. You're going to love this. Actually, you're going to love this. He's defending the international title
in a battle royal.
The blackjack battle royal, 21 men.
Oh, and so this is when like it's four enter and four enter and four enter, and then you have the Joker, and the Joker is the last one. Isn't that what they do?
I think that's what they do, but
I
don't
like
know if
that
they
gimmick.
I don't know if that's still going to be the case because we know who the Joker is now. It's the champion that they're fighting for, you know. But because
like
before,
gimmick.
You know. But whatever. So he's defending in a battle royal. Jade versus Taya Valkyrie for the TBS championship. Jericho.
Now I would say, like, I'm about to ask you, is there a chance they take it off Jade? I don't think
no.
The build has been strong enough for them to take it off her.
No, and she also last night on Rampage won her 58th and 59th match. So now this will be
How'd
her
she
60th.
Win two?
Because she squashed someone. I was just reading it. I actually didn't even watch it. I read the results afterwards. I guess Mark Sterling came out and said, "This is all Texas has to offer."
Oh, okay.
And someone else came out, and then she squashed that person.
All right. Well, Jade's not losing yet. She's not
And then
losing.
Ty, so though this will be 60-0.
Okay.
Unsanctioned match. This match is unsanctioned. Chris Jericho and Adam Cole.
Right. So if something like crazy happens, Tony Khan does not have liability.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. And then Ethan Page and the Guns versus Isaiah Cassidy and the Hardys
Ooh, I
is a
don't
match.
care. Whoo!
Is a that is a
Whoo! I
match
don't
that is
care.
happening. I don't know. I guess I think what my I don't know. I'm very excited about any all the Elite stuff that's going on. I know the championship match is going to be great. The rest of the card, it's going to be long, and I don't know that I feel that the buildups have been like that great. I mean, I feel like a lot of this seems, which is crazy because they have so much time between their big shows. A lot of this feels thrown together. It feels like it just came together in the last couple of weeks, and they've had what, 3 months
Right.
to set all this stuff up.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'll be interested. The Jericho Adam Cole stuff is interesting to me because it's going to be a really good match, and anything with Jericho is good. But the rest of it, I don't know. Just it doesn't. I don't
You're
know. How
buying
do you
it.
feel?
You're buying it.
It's
You're
Sunday
buying
night.
it.
Sunday night. Sunday night.
Sunday night,
Are you
so
gonna we're gonna
it's.
watch a five a 7 hour AEW pay-per-view on Sunday night?
It's head to
No.
head with, let's see, hold on 1 second. Let me try and figure this out. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Okay. It's head to head potentially with Game Six Panthers.
Oh.
If Game Six Panthers is on, I'm not
That's big
watching it
TV.
live. That's for sure. I mean,
Panthers get the big TV.
oh, it will. AEW won't even get the small TV. It's small TV's off if during
Oh.
Panthers or Heat Eastern Conference Finals. There's no small TV at the same time of this.
Yeah.
So we will not be watching AEW live, or for that matter, Night of Champions. The night before, it could be game six. Look, the Heat are looking like they may sweep the Celtics, but if it's game six, Heat Celtics, chance to clinch either way. Like, we're not watching Night of Champions live either on Saturday night. So
The other thing from AEW is so and again, we'll see how they handle this because in the past, stuff like this happens and then we just never hear about it again. We never really Don Callis never got to finish his explanation for why he turned
yeah,
on
but
Kenny.
I think we'll get to that. I'm going to give them a little bit of time.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
I'm going to give
think
that a little bit of time.
I was reading that there's people who think it's going to be that he's going to introduce Will Ospreay
Ooh, that'd be cool.
for Forbidden Door.
Yeah, see, like if it's something like that, I'm willing to wait for it. Like that makes sense. That's why we're
Yeah.
waiting, you know? So
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a chance.
I think Kota Ibushi would make more sense because I don't think like Will Ospreay wouldn't be permanent. I think Kota Ibushi might be like in AEW. I think he's coming to AEW. Ospreay would just be for Forbidden Door. I also heard that I was reading some people that think that maybe Mercedes Moné shows up this weekend
This Mercedes Moné.
to set up Forbidden Door.
Most overrated wrestler in the world right now.
I'm just saying,
Mercedes Moné.
isn't Forbidden Door is before All In, right? Is Forbidden Door a pay-per-view? I don't even know what
Yeah,
Forbidden
yeah,
Door
yeah,
is,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
but it's
yeah.
before All In. It's before the Wembley show, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I
So
believe so,
yeah.
yes.
All right.
Let's do some corrections from our guy Victor from last week's show.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
So the main thing that we asked last week, our man Victor, he listens every week. He's a great fan, great listener, and he sends us corrections based on things that we said in the previous week's show. So one of the big questions we were asking last week and trying to figure out was, when is the last time Roman Reigns has been on a pay-per-view and not been in the main event? Because that may be happening
Oh,
this
right.
weekend, right?
Yeah, right.
So, all right. So Victor looked it up. Hell in a Cell 2020. Roman was Universal Champion, and he thinks it was the second or third match on the card. It was a Hell in a Cell I Quit match, you remember, versus Jey Uso. The main event was Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton, WWE title, Hell in a Cell. All right.
Okay, so let me ask you, when we say main event, like, do you
We mean
consider,
going
because you
on
know,
last. That's what we're talking
okay,
about.
we're saying going last, because I was also reading that WWE this week coming
Triple main
up
event, right?
might pose this as a triple main event.
No, but we're talking about going on last. That's what
Okay,
we're
that's
talking
what I
about.
thought. Closing the show.
How about
Closing
TLC 2020? Roman defends the Universal title against KO. The main event was Orton versus The Fiend, Firefly Inferno match. I don't even remember that. It must have been so awful.
Is that when Randy Orton set him on fire?
Yeah, maybe.
Remember that? Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? They cut away. Yeah. They cut Terrible. Away, and then they cut away, and then they cut back, and there was like a mannequin in the ring that Randy Terrible. Orton set on fire.
Yeah, because that was during the
Thunderdome.
Thunderdome, yeah. All right. Royal Rumble, excuse me. Royal Rumble 2021. Main event was the Royal Rumble, but Roman did defense against Kevin Owens right before it. That match was awesome. That was when they had the botch where KO was handcuffed and they couldn't figure it out. I don't know. I don't agree with that one because the Royal, like, I'm not going to count that one because the Royal Rumble has to go on last. So I'm not necessarily counting that one. All right. Elimination Chamber 2021. Roman had defended immediately after the chamber that kicked off the show against Daniel Bryan. So the main event was Drew versus Miz for the championship. Okay. All right. Royal Rumble 2022. Yeah, again, see, I'm not counting that either. WrestleMania 38. He unified the titles. He has yet to be the main event when he is scheduled. He has yet to not be the main event when scheduled for a match. So since WrestleMania 38, I guess he beat, what, Edge and Daniel Bryan? He got both titles.
So really just a year.
A little more than a year. Yeah, a little more than a year. Okay. And like he's saying here, if you don't count the Rumble twice, and I don't, since he became Universal Champion, he has main evented every pay-per-view except for three that he's wrestled in.
That makes sense.
Impressive.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Good job there, Victor.
What's he's what? He's at, he's going on a thousand. So he's going on what? 3 years, a little over almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That yeah. It was like right before the pandemic where he came back and yeah.
Yeah. Well, this weekend will be 1,000 days. I think
that's over. That's about 3 years. Yeah. Something yeah. like that. All right.
Wow. That's crazy. All right. Well,
you got big dirt, not big dirt. Let's do it this week, Joey. Come on now.
Yep. So we just got done talking about the underwhelming Collision announcement, or at least in my eyes. Part of what people are, or what's out there, I don't know if this was, if there was an official announcement about this, but apparently Bryan Danielson will be involved with Collision as a member of the creative team. So he'll be helping write Collision. Big Dirt.
Yeah, I'll go Big Dirt. I'm willing to give that a chance. I mean, he's clearly at the point in his career where he's going to be slowing down. I told you, I got a little bit sick of every single week Bryan Danielson's the greatest wrestler in the history of mankind. So I'm willing to give us a chance. I'm good with it. I'll go Big Dirt.
Yeah. I hope it means he's slowing down because I don't love the idea of like, it's like, it'd be like a current player being the GM or something, you know, like a basketball player also being the GM.
Yeah.
And it's like making those decisions when you're a current wrestler is tough. It can be tough for the show. All right. Drew McIntyre. Still haven't seen him. Since Mania? And according to Meltzer, part of that is because of his contract stuff. It's up in early 2024. But now they're saying that it's because creatively, they're still not totally on the same page. WWE doesn't know what their idea for him is, and I guess he has a big hand in agreeing to whatever his creative is going to be, and they haven't necessarily agreed on anything yet, so he's just not back. Creative, apparently, I don't know if it's creative differences or they don't have an idea or what, but I guess it's creative issues that's keeping Drew from being back right now. Big Dirt.
I'm going not Big Dirt. Maybe there is creative issues, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily a problem. Just be biding your time until you got the right story and you come back. Maybe you come back fresh. Maybe he comes back as Scott, a psychopath, which I think is what we're hoping for. He was great as a big heel. He has never had a title run as or even a title chase as the Scott, a psychopath. So, because you remember, his turn was officially that January 2020 Royal Rumble when, like, he came to the ring as a heel, but when he eliminated Brock Lesnar, then he became massive babyface.
Right.
So he's been this guy, the Scottish Warrior, for over 3 years now. I think we're getting a little bit of a makeover, so I'm going not Victor.
All right. So we were talking about this weekend, the title match, and we've both been saying pretty consistently that this is Rollins' belt. but apparently there has been no decision made on who is getting the belt, and that there's some hesitancy to put it on Rollins because there is concern that he might start doing more movies and more stuff outside of WWE, and the idea is that this belt is going to be defended all the time and whatnot. He's currently filming, what movie is he doing right now?
I think he was on the set of something that I watched. Oh, Captain America.
Captain America, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess the report that I read also said he's clearly Triple H's guy, like number one guy, but it hasn't been decided because they might be concerned about him doing other projects that would keep him out of the ring and not be able to defend.
Well, so that right there is why I'm going not Big Dirt, because he's Triple H's guy. And there's a great relationship there, and nobody's going to be caught by surprise by anything. So I think this is not Big Dirt.
Okay. And then last one, this is my favorite one for today. The rumored participants for Money in the Bank.
Okay.
We got Cody. Got Bobby Lashley. Got Finn Balor, Riddle, Edge, Damian Priest, and then two more. LA Knight, Chad Gable.
I'm gonna go Big Dirt, and if I had to pick out of that group, I got two guys.
Okay.
Edge.
You want Edge getting that title. You want that title on Edge.
I think it's a good story. Edge, ultimate opportunist. Edge, Damian Priest. I think
no LA Knight.
I don't know if he'll win it. I don't know if he'll win it. I think it could be a tease. Everyone wants it to. I think Damian Priest right now has a ton of momentum coming off the Bad Bunny match. He looked like a main eventer. I could see Damian Priest carrying around that Money in the Bank. That gives Judgment Day an extra storyline. I think Damian Priest right now could be a front runner for Money in the Bank.
He could. Well, yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, listen, I think you know who I want to win Money in the Bank, if that list is true.
Yeah, I want LA Knight to win it too.
No, that's nope, not me.
Oh, Chad Gable, you want to win it? Yeah,
chance. What are we? It's too good. He's too good.
Yeah, it's cute, but there's no chance.
It's not even cute. The problem is that he hasn't been given that opportunity. He needs an opportunity to be looked at as legitimate, and they don't give it to him yet. They haven't given it to him yet. This is it. How many people are normally in Money in the Bank? Because I just listed 9 guys.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe like 8 guys. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe Chad Gable won't be in that match.
Maybe he won't.
Maybe he won't. I think the majority of people will probably be leaning toward Cody.
Yeah, I don't. There's no way Cody becomes world champion by a cash in. There's no way.
He could cash in and just have a regular match.
And that's awful. Like, they've done that before, and it's awful when they do that.
Right.
No, the whole point is it has to be surprise. It has to be a cash in. When you use it to set up a match, that's horrendous. You can't do that. And there's no way he's winning. Hey, surprise, I'm here. 1, 2, 3. No. That's not hard times, Daddy.
All right. That's true. If it's going to be a surprise, if it has to be a surprise. All right, let me look at this list again. If it has to be a surprise, Edge, LA Knight, or Gable?
Damian Priest!
Yeah, he's not a surprise guy. Damian Priest is going to, he's a beast. Like, he doesn't seem like an opportunist. He seems like he's just going to come in and beat you up, and have a match and beat you up. I'm saying if I need somebody, or actually Finn would be a good surprise cash in guy too. Not Cody, not Bobby. I mean Gunther. I don't even see Gunther in. I mean you put him in the match because he'd be awesome in the match.
Gunther only cares about the Intercontinental title. I think if you put in front of him Gunther, you could keep the Intercontinental title, or we could give you the World Championship. I think he keeps the Intercontinental title.
He loves
the Intercontinental title. He loves it.
It's his title. He's never going to give up that title. He is going to have that title when he's going for the world title.
Yeah, and then because he has two titles and you can't keep them both, he's going to relinquish the world title.
They're
going to
make him relinquish one, and it's the world title.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. Hey, good for him. Well, as As long as the Intercontinental title is on Gunther, it's important. So,
yeah. Yep. It's like when the Ultimate Warrior won the Ultimate Challenge, and so he had both the WWF Championship and the Intercontinental title, and so he had to relinquish the Intercontinental title. Gunther would do the opposite. He would relinquish the world title.
I think it would be hilarious if, with all these people carrying around multiple titles, Gunther wins two, and they're like, you are the one who has to relinquish one. You. Now, we're not going to allow people to have two titles.
Right. Meanwhile, Roman's body is covered in championship titles.
Yeah. Roman's had two titles for 7 years.
Well, and after next week, he's going to have the tag team title.
Well, at that point, look, I know it's not the most popular thing, but if Roman is, if they're going to really put the tag titles on Roman, then give him the world heavyweight title too. Give him all the titles. Give him five titles. At that point, it's so absurd. He has four titles. You might as well give him the other title. Put him in Money in the Bank. Give him and have him, put Roman in
Tribal
Money in the Bank.
Tribal Chief doesn't climb ladders. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, someone will climb it and give it, like Solo will come out and
like
get
James Ellsworth and Carmella?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. It'll be a real James Ellsworth Carmella situation. Let me have Roman with two world titles, two tag titles, and a briefcase.
That's right.
Let him carry around all that stuff. And then give him the world... Let him win the world heavyweight title without cashing in. So he can just carry around the briefcase and then maybe tease that he's going to cash in on Gunther. So he can.
And then you notice, too, he should also get Cody's belt. The white belt strap that he wears, and he wears that, too.
And since we don't discriminate, he can cash in on Rhea and just win the women's title.
Well, she wants to fight men.
Exactly. She wants to get hit by a man.
Good job, Joey. Fun show today. We'll have a lot to cover next week, I imagine we'll do. We'll probably do Monday next week, right? Because we want to kind of do a recap.
Are we going to do a preview? We should do a preview,
maybe we will. Yeah, maybe we'll do a
later
preview
this week.
Show. Yeah.
Once we know everything is officially official.
Yeah, if we could find a night that the Heat and Panthers aren't dominating my life. Yes.
Yeah, what's the schedule there this week?
It's every day.
Thursday.
It's every day.
That's true.
Yeah, it's every day. Good job, Joey. Hey, everybody, make sure you like, you rate, you comment, you do all that fun stuff. Tell all your friends about the show. Appreciate you guys listening. Joey, say goodbye to all your fans and followers. Go ahead.
I'll see you guys next week. Appreciate you all.
Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. We'll do a preview show. We'll talk to you in the next episode if it's still real to me.